But it's a special treat to be with you today. Let's turn to God's Word as we worship today. Luke writes, "Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." God always blesses the reading and proclaiming of the Holy Word. Let us pray. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter, and we are your clay. Amen. You ever take a journey you didn't want to take? Ever had to take a trip you really just, you dreaded, you an awful feeling? Tap into one of those if you can. Maybe you've never had to go on a journey you didn't choose. But most of us, something going on in there. And this story of this trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem was one of those trips you never wanted to take. Try to get into the scene a little bit. And it's interesting what we've done with the story of Jesus, the Gospels. We have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they kind of give us some idea about the chronology of it. John, well, we're just still trying to figure out John. I guess when we get there, we say, John, what in the world were you doing with that thing? You know, we can't find any stream of consciousness here, or maybe it was a stream of consciousness, and the Lord blessed that. John's gospel, a wonderful gift to us. But it's just so different for Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But Matthew and Luke, well, Mark doesn't even tell us about the birth of the baby. He wants to get right to the business. Let's explain to us that here is Jesus the Christ, and I want you, when I finish this book, I want you to know in your heart, as much as I know in my heart, that this is the real guy. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. But Matthew and Luke share the story. And so we try to put those pieces together, and in most of our minds, as followers of Jesus, if we've been around the church, we've been around the faith for very long, we have our own little story. It's not Mark's. I mean, it's not Matthew's gospel. It's not Luke's gospel. It's this piecing together. And you've been on this study with Adam and your team here, Adam Hamilton. Love Adam Hamilton. Adam is much easier with supposing than I am. I'm more easy with the mystery. You know, why is it that it looks this way in this little story, and then it looks a little differently in this story, and he's trying to figure out how to explain them all away. I don't have any problem with that. I just say, you know, maybe when I get there, I can say, Lord, could you help me with that? The truth is, I don't think there will be any questions. When I get there, when you get there, I think there aren't any questions. I think we're just blown away by the presence of God, and it's such a powerful and joyful experience. I'm not going to have a lot of questions, and I don't think you will either. But this side, we still have questions and struggles sometimes, but I'm pretty comfortable with the mystery of it all. But on that particular day, here's a couple that takes a very, very difficult journey, a 10-day journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. If you think about it, and you know, I'm the old guy, I don't use PowerPoint and all that stuff. Bless her heart, Lindsay said, do you have PowerPoint for me? And I said, you know, Lindsay, I still don't do PowerPoint. You know, I've gotten away without it for 43 years of ministry, and I guess I'll get away without it for a little while longer, as long as the Lord tolerates, I guess. But anyway, you know, if you think about Israel, you see that on the news from time to time. Now that we're talking about Jerusalem and all the things going on in the Holy Land, in that day, it was really split into three areas. The top area was Galilee, and if you've been there, you know that's the Sea of Galilee is up there, and Nazareth is one of the little towns near Tiberias. It's up in the northern part of the country. And then there's this place called Samaria in those days. It's now what we call Palestine, and the Palestinians live there. It's a little different place there. It was a very different place in those days. because that's where the people who were called the Samaritans lived. They were cousins to the folks of Judea, which is the southern kingdom, down around Jerusalem and down on the south part of the nation of Israel. But there was such trouble between the Samaritans and the Jews of that day, remembering that the people of Samaria had had issues when they were conquered by the Assyrians, and so different from the conquering of the Jews and the people of Judea by the people of Babylon some years later, but they both had been conquered, and they responded to the conquering in different ways. And so they were in strife against each other. And so often people would not travel through Samaria. And even Jesus' disciples wondered at times. Read the gospel stories. They went, why in the world are we doing this? Shouldn't we go out around and cross over the river and then go up and then come back in? So we don't want to go through Samaria. Those folks are unclean, and we don't want to go there. We don't want to become unclean. And so you get into some of the religious struggles of that day, and religious struggles continue there today. It's still going on, a very, very painful and difficult thing. But the question is, did Joseph and Mary travel? Well, how did they go there? Well, before we get there, let's talk a little bit about Mary. Bless her heart. You know, you have to wonder, she couldn't have been thrilled about all this. She's nearly 9 months pregnant, and, you know, you have to wonder, you know, we're in Nazareth, we're getting everything ready for the birth of a baby, and then Caesar proclaims that everybody's going to go to the city of their ancestors, their family gathering. And whether or not Joseph lived in Bethlehem, that's a question. I'm not too hung up about that, whether he actually lived there or it was just his family that lived there. I can't find any proof either way. So when I can't find some sense of real proof and scriptural proof, then I just kind of leave it hang out there. But his family certainly came from Jerusalem, and it's a 10-day walk at its best. And so when you think about it, one of the trips could be if they came straight down through Samaria, they would take a trip through what essentially was the journey of the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and go back and read the Old Testament stories and walk through that process. And you will stop at these various places along the way on that trip down that part of the country, but that takes you right through the middle of Samaria. And so did Mary and Joseph go over to the river and cross the river and come down on the other side? And you know, we don't know. But it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that they would, because it took at least 2 more days. And when you're at the point where Mary was, well, I've not been there. I'm the guy in the family, right? So I've never been there, but I walked some of those experiences. That was a journey we really didn't want to take. You know, the 10 days before Christopher was born, Peggy began to have some real problems with high blood pressure, and fortunately I had one of my very, very best friends who in his last ministry was the senior pastor at St. Mark's United Methodist Church. But anyway, he was visiting her while I was working at one of the churches out in Harrison County. Wouldn't you know it, as a district superintendent, I was always gone. And so she goes into distress, and he helps her get to the hospital. And wow, what a tough time. 10 days in the hospital before the birth of Christopher. It was a tough time. And, you know, her ankles were swelled, and she was just going through really, really tough times. It was scary, really a scary kind of thing. And so, you know, I try to think about Mary, and here she is. She's nearly 9 months pregnant, and all of a sudden, she has to take this 10-day journey. And quite frankly, walking would probably be better than riding the donkey. You often see in those days, anyway, the pictures show the guy was riding the donkey and the wife is walking along behind him. Not an uncommon picture. But maybe Mary's on the donkey, but if I were Mary, I'd rather be the one walking, you know? When we went to Petra, the lost city in Jordan many, many years ago, I told the guys I'd pay them extra, double what they wanted the rent for the horse if they'd let me walk. I don't like riding these things, you know. But she rides it for 10 days. I think about Peggy, you know, in the final day when we finally get there and they start her labor, and We're about halfway through. We've been to the Lamaze classes. I don't know if Joseph and Mary did the Lamaze classes or in Nazareth. Thank goodness for those Lamaze classes. You know, it was supposed to train me in how to be the coach. You know, I'm supposed to be the coach. And the only real thing I remember about the coaching was we're about halfway through the labor. We've been in labor from about 6 a.m. It's about noon. And I'm coaching Peggy, and I said, honey, you need to, you know, you're not breathing right here. We need for you to breathe. And she grabbed me by the lapels, and she said, you breathe, sucker. I'm going to hold my breath. This hurts. Got to remember, she's a nurse, too, so she knows all about this stuff. I don't know about Mary, but I mean, boy, that was not a journey. It wasn't a very fun journey that day. But the outcome, what a great, wow. 3 hours later, and all the things going on there, the birth of Christopher. What a great day, but not a journey we were looking for that day, the way it had to all come together. But Mary and Joseph, here we are, going through this. Not a journey you would choose, but they couldn't choose. You have to understand, they were essentially a slave nation to Caesar Augustus. The Romans controlled that part of the world. And they were sending people down there to their places of their history to do the census, not so they'd know how many people were around, but to know how much they ought to charge in taxes. The real deal is about money. How much can we tax this particular area of the world? So they take a journey they really don't want to take. And did they get there by taking an extra 2 days and cross the river? Doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I don't know. Or did they come down through Samaria? You know, Jesus spent a lot of time up in Samaria, and he never went around it. He always went through because he had a sense of call, not just to his own people, but to all people. All the way back to Abraham, the word was, through you, I'm going to bless the whole world. That's what Abraham was told. Through you, I'm going to bless the whole world. And here's the fulfillment of that. Jesus the Christ is the fulfillment of that, the fulfillment of that blessing, the whole world, through ultimately this ancestor of Father Abraham and Sarah. So they make their way down there. What a tough, tough place to go, and what difficult things. But how about you? You ever take a journey you didn't want to take? It's a painful thing. Sometimes we have to take a journey. We didn't choose a journey. I still remember the 25th day of April 1972, and a pastor preached on Sunday night, the 24th, and used John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, I came that you might have life and might have it abundantly. And I said, wow, if God has this abundance for me, I want it. So he invited us to experience that. And I said, thank you, Lord, I'm going to get this abundant life. What's that really look like? I don't know exactly. Well, the Lord knew what it was exactly, because the very next day it was, a battle I'd been having with the Lord about the call to pastoral ministry. And so we started a journey that next day. Yes, Lord, I guess if that's where you want us to go, that's where we'll go. But we don't want to go on that journey. I was a school teacher, loved teaching, had the ideal position. Why in the world would I do this? But the Lord had another plan, another journey. It didn't seem like a good journey. Now, 43 years later, I think 45 years later now. Unbelievable how God blesses us in even the journeys we don't necessarily want to take. What about you? You know, what about journeys? You know, any difficult journeys? I still remember 1984, 1985, a journey we took. I was named a district superintendent, and within just several months, we had our first baby. Wonderful, should be a wonderful time, right? You know, all the crazy things going on in our lives, but I was going through a terrible time, went into a deep, deep depression, and ultimately found myself like George in It's a Wonderful Life. On that bridge, that proverbial bridge, you know. Wondering, would the world be better without me? Took a journey. I didn't want to take that journey. That was a year and a half journey. But today, and the therapist said in the middle of the day, he said, now, you know, Greg, one day you'll thank God for this. And I said, if I had a gun right now, you're dead. Let me just tell you, you don't know how bad I'm hurting right now. But it was a journey I didn't want to take. And yet God probably saved my marriage, saved my life, saved my ministry. It's an incredible thing. Because the promise of God is I'll never leave you. It doesn't say you won't go through the difficult times. It doesn't say you won't have to take difficult journeys. What it says is I will never leave you. I will always be there for you. I still remember that fateful day on December the 11th, 2000. And I got a phone call from the district superintendent. The district superintendent said, this is, and he gave me his name. And I said, uh-oh. Uh-oh. And he said, well, you know why I'm calling, Greg? And I said, no, I don't have a clue. And he said, well, we want you to go to Carmel United Methodist Church. And I said, oh, man. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, you remember, I'm from Farmersburg, Indiana, in Sullivan County. I'm the country kid, you know. I married the farmer's daughter. I'm this guy from nowhere. And you want me to go? You want me to go February the 15th? I said, well, by June the 15th, they'll find a new place for me. And I wasn't kidding. I said, this is a journey we don't want to take. And I had refused a journey before, and the bishop called up and said, oh, yeah, I think you do want to take that journey. So we found out about that and had a wonderful time in that position. But this time, you know, Jesus and I had we'd had some real come-to-Jesus meetings, and I just said, well, you might ask the bishop to reconsider. And they said, well, no, he's not going to do that. He wants you at Carmel. And I said, well, then load up the truck. That's where we're going. I was scared to death, absolutely petrified to come here as a pastor. And no kidding, thinking, well, you know, they can always move me in June. 4 months, maybe that's a good time. We'll move again. And then somehow you trusted us, put up with us for almost 14 years. What a privilege. But, you know, it's a journey I never wanted to take. And yet it became one of the greatest journeys of my entire life, certainly of my ministry, and the privileges that God bestowed upon me and my family as a part of all that. Journey you don't want to take, you know? Sometimes it's the loss of a loved one. Sometimes it's the loss of a job. Maybe some of you are right there, you know? Sometimes it's a broken relationship or one that's just really in tatters and you're struggling. It's a journey trying to find a way to put this thing back together or to somehow put it to rest. Or you get the news about a terminal illness. Something going on in your life. This is a journey. I don't want to go here. I don't want to go here. Oh, Lord, do we have to go here? But ultimately, the word from the scripture is, and Jesus says, you know, I'll be with you always. His last words to the disciples here on earth were, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth, even to the end of the world. Thank God for that promise. I hope you sense God's presence with you today and every day, but especially in those times. And if you've had them in the past, I hope you felt God's presence and you didn't feel abandoned, because he doesn't want you to be abandoned. But God wants to be there for you and me every step of the journey. Did amazing things for all of us because of Mary and Joseph taking that trip. At the birth of the baby Jesus, the world will never, ever, never, ever be the same. The Lord was with them all the way through that journey and continues to be with you and me every step of the journey. If you're in one of those journeys, or if a journey like that comes to you, just know you're never alone. God is always there for you. The Lord Jesus has taken these trips. What do you think on those last moments of his physical life here on earth, when he drug that chunk of wood on his back and he went to Calvary and gave his life for you and for me? He said it very clearly there on Thursday night. Father, if there's another way, is there another way? If there's another way, that was a journey Jesus didn't even want to take. But our lives will never be the same because of his faithfulness and the presence of God and the amazing gift of God, the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. What a blessing it is. All made possible by that specific journey. Wherever you are in your journey, I hope that this weekend you're experiencing God's love and grace and blessing, and that every day of your life you know you're never alone. The Lord is with you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you chose for Mary and Joseph not to do the easy thing. What a horrific journey it must have been. And yet the fulfillment of it has changed the world. And in our small ways, Lord, when we've had to take journeys we didn't want to take, but we allowed you to work in them and through them to bless us, Lord, we are not the same. And so we ask today and every day that we might do your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else but your will, and that when we find ourselves in the midst of your will, you will do amazing things. Bless us as we journey with the Holy Family this weekend, and as we again celebrate Jesus' birthday, Lord, in our hearts, we offer ourselves anew to you and know you are with us. We give you thanks and praise. Amen.